is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The French election, the election in the United Kingdom, two huge stories because Europe, NATO, EU, Ukraine war, the recovery from the pandemic, and the challenge of NATO. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft is in Paris. This is by far the most exciting French election I can remember, because right now, Emmanuel Macron's name is not on the ballot. What is in fact the debate is between parties for the assembly, which, as I understand to my limits, will have a great deal to do with the governance of France these next years until Emmanuel Macron steps down. He's term limited, and there's a new presidential election. Anatole, a very good evening to you. I read the London papers about the French election, which can be misleading. However, what I learn is that Marine Le Pen's national rally is doing very well in the polling, that François Hollande, the previous president of France, leading a coalition of left-of-center parties, and then trailing very far behind is Emmanuel Macron's party that he invented to elect himself president 1.5 terms ago. I want to focus on Marine Le Pen right now because she's dominating the headlines. What power does she have if her party does as well as the polls indicate? Not a majority, but overwhelming numbers in the assembly. What authority does that give her about policy? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, according to the Constitution, the president then has to ask the party that got most votes first to try to form a government and appoint the prime minister. But that party still has to get a majority in parliament. And it's generally considered, it could be wrong, but it's generally considered that though the Rassemblement National, the former National Front, will be the biggest party by a long way, it probably won't get an absolute majority. So then the question would be, would Macron try to put together a coalition between his party and the basically the left, the socialists, in order to keep the more radical right out? And of course, it depends ultimately on the arithmetic and the number of seats. But I mean, it would be terribly ironic because Macron has run, you know, consistently these past 7 years of when he was first running for president against the left. But the left itself is very divided. You have the more radical left, you know, who, amongst other things, you know, have been more, you know, favorable to peace in Ukraine and also very critical of Israel in Gaza. But then you also have more moderate left in this coalition who are very pro-Israeli and very, you know, very much in favor of continuing support for Ukraine. So, I mean, whatever happens, it will be a very unstable situation for the next 3 years until the presidential elections, when, I mean, Macron hopes, obviously, that in the meantime, the radical right will have made such a mess of things that people will vote against them. But at the moment, all the betting is that in 3 years' time, Marine Le Pen will be elected president.
The headlines about Marine Le Pen involving the war, France's Le Pen expects clear far-right win and power over Macron. French far-right leader Marine Le Pen is confident her party will win. And she goes on to and impose limits on what President Emmanuel Macron can do to support Ukraine, she said days before voting starts. That sounds as if he's no longer in charge of NATO decisions. He talked boldly about French intervention in some fashion over these last weeks, and he's been the strongest voice in the EU for continuing support of Ukraine. What does Ms. Le Pen's remark mean? That France is turning away from the war? She's limiting that what he can do as president? Is this a challenge that he can fend off?
Well, what she said something very specific, actually, which was that Macron had no right to send French troops into action, to war in Ukraine, you know, without the agreement of the parliament. And actually, the constitution is a bit complicated because the president can make that decision, but then he has to get the approval of parliament afterwards. So in a sense, both sides are right. A huge majority of the French public are against sending troops to Ukraine. They want to support Ukraine, but without sending French troops. And I've had some interesting conversations with ex-military types in Paris who say that a majority of the army is also strongly against deploying French troops to Ukraine. So I think, I mean, Le Pen's calculation is that on this she has the country on her side, and that if Macron were to fight her over this, he would lose.
And France dominates the story, as I understand it, in the EU. It's France and Germany who have the strong economies that everyone looks to. Is this the end of the EU's support for the Ukraine war? We know that Germany is muted at best about continuing support. Macron's limitations, does that mean the EU is limited?
Well, yes. I mean, I wouldn't call it the end, but I think it may be seen in future as the beginning of the end, because you do have, by now, it's not that, you know, people in the EU are pro-Russia. It's just that there is a pretty general feeling that you know, that there are so many economic difficulties now in France and Germany and elsewhere, and of course all the problems with immigration, that governments should concentrate on domestic problems and, you know, should limit their aid to Ukraine. So I think that is indeed a sentiment which is bound to grow.
All right, let me apply then. We're talking about turning away from Ukraine, but there have been stories that Marine Le Pen is not anti-Kremlin, even to the point that Marine Le Pen has a good opinion of Russia. Is that accurate?
Well, I think it's more. I mean, there is a certain, affinity. Although Le Pen and the Rassemblement National have, you know, strongly condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and they supported sanctions against Russia and aid up to a point. But once again, I think the real feeling on the right in Europe is that Russia is not a threat to France. And of course, on the right in France, the belief is that Muslim immigration is the real threat to France and economic decline, and that, you know, concentrating on Russia is a distraction from, you know, what they see as the real threats to France. I mean, they're really in a way trying to recapture a Gaullist line, La France d'abord. But well, actually, it's a translation of America first. It just means France first. You know, we think about France first, and, you know, the European Union second, NATO third. If you see what I mean, that's their ideology.
All right, then what we have here is the beginning of the end of the Ukraine war, because without the EU, I really don't understand how it's practical to go on to plan NATO to support the Ukrainian war. NATO's meeting in the middle of July, but I'll step back a little bit. You say that the French left is not pro-war, although they're not anti-war at this point, according to the headlines. Marine Le Pen believes that limiting Macron and what he can do with the army is important for her party, the National Rally. That means that Kiev has to make some decisions, correct? I mean, they have to see that without France supporting NATO's participation and the EU's money, there is no future for Kiev.
Well, the thing is that for this year, the money is locked in. The European Union has passed its aid package. And of course, everyone is waiting to see what happens in the US elections. If Trump wins and initiates, you know, a peace process with Russia, then probably the Europe, whatever Macron may say at the moment, the Europeans will probably all have to fall in line behind that. All for that matter, if Biden wins and he himself initiates a peace process after the elections. So nobody in Europe is going to get ahead of the United States. But equally, I mean, there is this line among Macron supporters that, you know, we must, as they say, you know, prove EU support for Ukraine, European support for Ukraine against Trump. In other words, even if Trump wins and withdraws support for Ukraine, Europe will continue. Well, I have to say, I mean, there are deep divisions among French thinkers and commentators on that. Macron supporters say that they're serious. Other French analysts say this is nonsense. You know, there is no chance of Europe, let alone France on its own, being able to really support Ukraine militarily as opposed to economically without the United States. And that does seem also to be a general feeling in the French army. So at the moment, I mean, things are very, very complex and confused here. I mean, first, of course, people are simply waiting to see what happens in the French elections, and then, of course, what happens in the U.S. elections.
Well, let's go to the London elections next, because there are voices about Ukraine there as well. Anatole Levin is in Paris. He's for the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, and we're talking about the French election on June 30th, first round, July 7th, second round. In between, July 4th, the British people are voting. And the choices there also include the future foreign policy of the EU and NATO. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.